Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Tea Time, Episode 2. Thanks for stopping in tonight. And we got a lot to discuss, actually. It's been a pretty hectic day, to tell you the truth, with recent news, and especially in the sports world. But tonight I got my co-host, Caden, and my good friend, Logan, my brother, Brady, and, of course, Butch. I guess so far we'll start off with the USFL. Big news there. Caden, did you want to throw your two cents in on what's been going on there?
I mean, there's definitely been a lot of exciting news coming out of this this new young exciting league, and along with the new team they're adding this season, they took away the Tampa Bay Bandits, but it's not really them taking it away. They're more on a 3-season hiatus. They will be back, I think, for season 3 or season 4. But they did add a new team called the Memphis Showboats, which is basically the exact same team as the Tampa Bandits, except rebranded and put into a different state and a different city with new uniforms, new logo, new name, new everything.
But just this recently, just this week, it might even be today that the Pittsburgh Maulers announced their new colors. They more went with the Pittsburgh theme with the black and gold. Every single Pittsburgh professional sports team has the black and gold. The Pittsburgh Riverhounds, the Pirates, the Penguins, the Steelers, the USL teams, even the MLS teams, they all have it. So a lot
I completely agree. I love the colors. I thought the prior ones were unique, and I liked those as well, but this new look works for that team and especially for that club. There's also been a bunch of pretty nice signings. I'm going to list a few off. We got Reggie Corbin. He's a running back. Wide receiver Rashad Davis spent some time on the Jets practice squad. We got wide receiver Derek Dillon. Spent some time on the Browns practice squad this year. Offensive tackle Terry Poole. Cornerback Trey Elston. Safety Cody Brown.
Derek Dillon played for Jones. Derek Dillon
Jaren
played
Jones.
For the Bandits, right? Derek
Dillon. He was on the Bandits. He was a tackle.
A little spot guy.
And pardon?
He's a nice flat, fast slot guy. Nice flat, fast wide receiver.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's nice. He's pretty much what you want. But any players that you guys thought stood out? Any signings you appreciated? Any guys you want to talk about?
Now,
Logan.
I did. I saw the Ish Hyman signing from and last season he did ball out for the games that he was given. He was on and off a little bit with a little bit of an injury, so he didn't play every single game. But the games that he did play in, he was a tall, nice route runner. He had the ability to blow past a cornerback and go make the nice athletic play. Finish the season with 15 receptions, 158 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That's for the minimal games he did play. And he did play. He had a short stint with the Buccaneers and the Browns for the 2 years that he was in the NFL. And he did play for the Kansas Jayhawks for college football. He's a nice, medium height receiver at standing at 6 feet tall. He can, tall enough to get over a cornerback and get the ball, but not extremely tall. Nothing too crazy.
Just to preface, he did play for the Michigan Panthers in season one, and he is returning. So I did appreciate that signing. I'm glad they brought him back. Jeff Fisher, let's see what he can do with his talent for sure. Logan, what player did you see, and any details you would like to give on that particular player?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of film on Reggie Corbin today, and even though he's very undersized, he is very small. I don't know his dimensions. But it looks like he plays with a chip on his shoulder. He's got good jukeability, kind of shifty. Kind of like a poor man Saquon, just a lot smaller.
he's 5'9", 208.
Okay, so, weight-wise, he's not that small.
And
I will say,
500, he had 519 yards, 95 attempts, and 2 touchdowns.
And let's also remember that in the USFL, there's 10 games of regular season plus the 3 potential games of postseason for particular teams that make it, obviously. So these numbers are going to be smaller than what you obviously see in the NFL, but it's a smaller sample size. But obviously, the larger the number, it's impressive because, Caden, if you want to go ahead and just talk about Channing Stribling, he's coming back confirmed for the Philadelphia Stars for season 2.
Did have a short stint with the NFL, I heard, in the offseason. I think he was on and off some practice squads, along with Reggie Corbin, I'm pretty sure, as well. And or was that the wide receiver from the Panthers? Was it Reggie Corbin?
I don't believe he got any practice squad nods, but Derek Dillon and Rashard Davis were both on practice squads this
I know there was a wide receiver. on the Cardinals.
Oh,
Bolden.
Oh yeah, Antoine. I think it's Antoine Bolden, the second.
Yeah, Antoine Bolden.
Mm-hmm. He was very good for the Birmingham Stallions. And then, obviously, for people that aren't informed, this is an 8-team league. You got the North Division and the South Division. In the North Division, you have the Michigan Panthers, the Philadelphia Stars, the New Jersey Generals, and the Pittsburgh Maulers. And then in the Southern Division, you have the Birmingham Stallions, the Memphis Showboats, the Houston Gamblers, and the New Orleans Breakers. And then, as Caden previously stated, the Tampa Bay Bandits are on a hiatus. I don't know when the club will be revived. They were probably the least popular team on social media, so they made a smart move business-wise and moved to a hotter market. So I respect that. And they're building each team up in their own market, respectively. Coaches are staying. A few have gone, obviously, due to personal reasons. And obviously, not all the teams are playing in their respective cities, which the goal is apparently by season 3 to have all 8 teams in their respective cities. So that's going to be interesting to see, especially with the new competition in the XFL, which is ESPN/Disney's league. But let's see what Fox can do here with the USFL. And Brady, did you want to talk about a player?
Yeah.
My bad to leave you out with that, man.
I actually think that the USFL will be pretty successful now that, you know, they're actually on a year 2. XFL never got to year 2. So you got a strong – I feel like that if this league can start sourcing players into the NFL and actually getting a little more funding after this contract they have with Fox, I think this league can actually grow, be a little bit bigger, and actually have a second football league in America.
No, I definitely agree with that 100%. And maybe even more than just 2, you know. Maybe the XFL and the USFL can coincide. That's what I would support. I'd love to see year-long, you know, semi-pro/pro football. That's, you know, awesome. It's better than, you know, watching baseball year-long, in my opinion, but that's just me. But Hayden, or heck, even Logan, you're a Giants fan, so you had to watch Kevontae Turpin sometimes this year. What did you think of him being the USFL MVP season 1? How do you think he translated into the NFL, if you would say, because he made All-Pro as a special teams returner, which is incredibly impressive coming off of pretty much his rookie season, kind of an old rookie, but technically his rookie season. What did you guys think of Kevontae? Go down the line here.
Yeah, I agree. I think he performed well for, you know, where they got him from. I mean, All-Pro kick returner out of nowhere. I mean, the Hall of Fame signing right there. But, I mean, out of all the kick returners in the league this year, there wasn't that many, you know, good ones. So the fact that he stood out among, you know, who is it? It was him and Nyheim Hines, I guess. I mean, I thought he might have been a pretty good signing. Jamal Agnew is the average.
I just think that when you get, you know, Kevontae Turpin, a guy that's pretty much a rookie, just fresh out of nowhere, and he comes in and gets All-Pro, that's a pretty impressive thing, especially, you know, for the USFL, because he's a USFL, pretty much just a prospect straight out of there. So I feel like that's an impressive sign.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for the USFL, he would never got a shot.
Mm-hmm.
With the development that he's shown through these past, you know, I don't think he's had longer than 3 weeks off of playing football this entire, all these collective seasons, because when the USFL season stops, NFL season starts. So he played an entire USFL season and then went all the way to the NFL, played an entire NFL season plus playoffs. I mean, he's played a ton of football in the past year, you know, a year and a half. And for him to be still playing at this quality for this much consistency, it is crazy. I remember week 1, I had to tune in to watch his first kick return. And because before in preseason, he had a punt return touchdown and a kick return touchdown in the same game. So I had to tune in for the first kick return. I'm not a Dallas fan, but I was a Kevontae Turpin fan. So I was cheering for him when he made a good return, even though it's kind of like a double-edged sword. You know, I want to cheer for Kevontae, but I also have to cheer for the Cowboys. So that kind of sucked.
But it was very fun watching a versatile, fast, someone who really brings a juice to the offense, someone that'll really bring, confidence to the offense before it comes out into the field. Lord knows Dak needs everything to win.
Right. Yeah. But like you were saying, I mean, he's played so much football in the past couple of months, especially as a return man. Return men take a lot of hits. So, I mean, every time they return a kick, I guess. But it is a physical position, so it's not something to be taken lightly.
And I know during the regular season he didn't get a touchdown on a return or anything like that, but he provided great field position and for, I would say, on paper, top five offense. But obviously Dak Prescott being Dak Prescott, that's a discussion for a little later.
I agree, though. Cowboys, we definitely have one of the best offenses in the NFL, regardless of Dak's mistakes he makes. When they're on, they can keep up with anybody in the NFL. So, says for itself.
One last comment on the USFL. I just wanted to throw out this little bit of information that they're partnered with Hub Football, which, heck, it might be a place near you if you're an aspiring football player that didn't get the spotlight or the, commitment to a big school or something like that. They do local tryouts and stuff, and USFL scouts are always there, and you can, broadcast your talent and show what you got. Just wanted to throw that little tidbit out there, I guess you can say.
And we would love to any of our listeners, we would love to have any young aspiring athlete to come onto our show and spread his story and try and get his shot.
I completely agree with that, and seriously, the line is open for anyone looking for a little bit of a megaphone, if you will, But
help us help you.
Caden, I guess we'll make a little segue here. This past weekend, big weekend for UFC. Let's go ahead and talk about it. Did you want to take lead here? Go ahead.
Big weekend for UFC. We had UFC 283. We're coming in hot to this event because at the time before this event, there was no current light heavyweight champion because of the Jan Blachowicz, Magomedov, Ankalaev tie, split decision tie. There is no light heavyweight champion because the former light heavyweight champion vacated it, had to go get surgery and vacated the title. But he is working his way back to recovery. But enough with that. The new light heavyweight champion against fighting Glover Teixeira for the vacant light heavyweight championship is Jamahal Hill. And there's a very, very, very special thing about Jamahal Hill. I remember when he fought Johnny Walker, and he absolutely slumped him. And there was a meme of Johnny Walker's face, just planted against the canvas, in between the cage and his chest, and his face looks all squashed. And the man who's responsible for that photo is Jamahal Hill. And with all due respect to John Jones and some other very hard hitting light heavyweights right now, I think that he right now current UFC fighters, I think he has the most power in that division. He hit Glover Teixeira with the most significant strikes in a single light heavyweight fight in UFC history, with 232. Now, another big news. There is a new featherweight champion in Brandon Moreno. Brandon Moreno versus Davidson Figueiredo. This fight has been going on for ages. I think the first time they fought each other was back in 2019, I want to say. And since then, there's only been one other fighter that's ever fought for the title, and that was Kai Kira France, and it was only for an interim title against Brandon Moreno. So that division has been completely swallowed up by those two with all the reason, because they are the two most dominant fighters in that division. And Brandon Moreno coming off and going into this fight knowing this is the last time he's ever going to get a shot at Davidson Figueiredo. Same thing for Figgy. Last time he's going to get a shot at Brandon Moreno. And this is their fourth fight. It was their fourth fight. First time in UFC history there have been four fights between two fighters. And Brandon Moreno went out there and outclassed him.
all three rounds of the fight, outclassed him, hit him with a big right, got that eye leaking, and after a while, he just kept on beating down on it. In the middle of round three, Davidson Figueroa was called into the corner and was asked to step out of the octagon from the doctor. And, you know, kind of a bum ending to a four-fight series, but, you know, they gave us some amazing fights and a good ending. I love Brandon Moreno and everything he stands for, and for him to get this far in his UFC career is extremely inspirational.
Yeah, I like him too. Kaden, what are your thoughts on Glover Teixeira's retirement?
Now, Glover Teixeira, there's another big retirement on that card. Shogun Rua retired. Yeah, Shogun Rua was fighting. You know, he's the same guy that John Jones took his title from when John Jones became the youngest UFC champion in UFC history. He went out there and absolutely killed Shogun Rua. But Shogun Rua, absolute legend of the sport. If you've been around UFC or just MMA in general, you know who this guy is. He, at one point, was the biggest, baddest man on the planet, and he was unstoppable. Absolute, amazing career. You know, hooray to him. And Jose Aldo was inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame. I don't know if you saw that. The Brazilian fans absolutely sucked. They were throwing stuff at the fighters. They were booing. They weren't hyped. UFC should never do a card there ever again. Glover Teixeira, also amazing. I just want to point this out. For him to go out on the way he did in a championship fight when he's 41, you know, bravo to you, sir. You've had an amazing career.
I didn't watch the fight. I didn't know how he did, but still, to go out with a championship fight. I mean, he's a championship-worthy fighter.
41. You're a great fighter.
Yeah.
Solidify.
I mean, I agree.
Anything else happen eventful, Kaden, this weekend that you want to talk about?
You want to talk more about the UFC cards? Logan, you got any more?
What about
Or the next fight is actually Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis is fighting next against Sergey Spivak.
It's a fight night.
Sergey
right?
Spivak is going to go out there. What do you say?
John Jones has like an 8-fight card. Is he going to fight Derek Lewis?
No. He could fight Derek Lewis. You never know.
Yeah, man.
But Derek Lewis is probably going to go out there and get embarrassed again, sadly. I love Derek Lewis. I wish him the best in everything he does. I think he's one of the funniest UFC fighters out there, one of my favorites, but right now is not a good point in his career. Maybe, you know, 10 or 5 years ago, I'd say this is easy money for Derek, but right now it's iffy for him, iffy for his future. I don't think there's a championship in his future.
Brady, what do you think about that? About who again? Sorry?
Derek Lewis.
Derek Lewis, he's a good show. You know, he's a good showman. He's a good fighter. He has power. He can wrestle, but he can't win the big fights. You know, he gets knocked out. You know, Tai Tuivasa, he just gets knocked out in the big moments that he needs to move into championship positions. So, with Jon Jones back in the race, I'm not sure if Derek Lewis can. Can get another title shot in his career.
Now, this is a question, I guess, for every single one of you, because I know you all enjoy UFC. What was your most memorable fight from last year? Let's just recap 2022, I guess you could say.
I guess I'll go first. The most memorable fight for me was Michael Chandler's knockout. I mean, that was insane. I mean, it's one of the best knockouts of all time. And you don't even hear about it anymore. I think it needs more respect. I mean, that was a hell of a kick. Knocked him out clean cold. And obviously, Leon Edwards against Kamaru Usman is up there for me.
Yeah, I was going to say Leon
Edwards. That's definitely a big one. But for me personally, Michael Chandler, that was my favorite moment.
I like Charles Oliveira's run, too. You know, his run, the eventually championship
But sadly, he did get taken down by
what's his name?
He did get taken down at the end of the year, towards the end of the year.
Islam Makhachev.
Mm-hmm. Islam Makhachev.
I mean, I say one of the best knockouts still has to be that Leon Edwards fight. I remember sitting there in my grandma's guest room, sleeping. It was my dad's weekend, and I was there watching the fight in bed. And I had to go there, run over, wake my dad up, be like, "Oh my God, you're not gonna believe what happened. He knocked him out in the fifth round." And it was an eventful night for me. I had to go take five in the bathroom. I had to go take five and calm down, because that was one of the craziest finishes to a fight I've ever seen.
They're fighting again soon, right?
So unexpected.
I'm pretty sure they fight again soon, right?
Yeah, they're going to fight in England, I'm pretty sure. But
really? Man, that's crazy.
One of the greatest fights I've ever seen that nobody knows about. Nobody watched, and I can't even find it on the anywhere I look up. I can't find the full fight. I have to buy ESPN Plus for it. But it's Landwehr versus Onama. Anybody who knows that fight knows exactly what I'm talking about. Absolute three round war with David Onama versus Nate Landwehr. Like, two absolute legends of the game. They were taunting each other all through the match. Very, very fun fight. Very fun. Very rewatchable.
Oh, another one of my other favorite UFC moments from last year was Luke Rockhold's last fight. He just bleeding out all over the guy's face, rubbing it all in his face.
All over Paulo Costa.
Yeah.
Zika juice.
Yeah, the secret juice.
So I guess we'll go into the NFL. Big weekend this past weekend, not going to lie. Kind of a shocker, to tell you the truth. I didn't expect what I guess the outcomes were by any means. I expected the 49ers to win, to tell you the truth. They're just a sound team. But the Bills, I mean, 10 points. I mean, what do you guys – What are we thinking about that? That's a shocker.
You know, Trevor,
right?
I've been saying to you this all year. What have I been saying to you? That Josh Allen is overrated. Him leading the league in turnovers is insane. And for him to go into that stadium and expect to rally his crowd and go take on Joe Burrow in the snow. And he goes out there and puts on 10 points. Like, he almost got beat by Skylar Thompson last week. Going into that game, it had to be easy for the Bengals. I think now we have to start looking at if Burrow beats Mahomes next season. I say we start saying Burrow over Mahomes.
Well,
I think Burrow's
exactly not crazy. It's not a crazy thing to say.
No, I agree with that statement 100%.
I think Mahomes is MVP this year, though. Definitely. Yeah, I think Mahomes is MVP.
Yeah, if Joe Burrow can beat him here,
that would be an insane upset.
But it's the face-to-face matchups that matter most, though. I mean, Patrick Mahomes still has yet to beat Joe Burrow. I mean, we'll see on – what did they play, Sunday?
Yeah,
so we'll see on Sunday, but, I mean, Mahomes has yet to beat him.
Oh, the Chiefs.
But I agree. Yeah, Chiefs are at home. And I agree, Mahomes. I think Mahomes is MVP this year. But I think Burrow will finish definitely top three in voting.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, no, that's not crazy. It's not a crazy thing to say. I mean, Burrow puts up just – Mahomes is definitely a lot more flashy than Joe Burrow is, who do more no-look sidearm throws. But if you want a guy to go down there,
get you
a touchdown. Right, exactly. I mean, Joe Burrow produces just as much as Mahomes does. And he wins the head-to-head matchup. So,
you know, I look at Joe Burrow as a natural-born winner. He has that stuff in his blood. You know, the stuff that makes that winners are made out of. He's got it. He's made of that stuff.
You can see it
in the way that he carries himself, the way that he throws the football, and the way he steps up in the pocket. You can see that when he's on the field, he tries to be him. He tries to have the whole game centered around how he wants to play.
Yep.
He's really a game manager. Very confident.
It's the same confidence that Tom Brady has. But dialing back to what you said about Buffalo, not only do I think is Josh Allen overrated, I think the Buffalo Bills as a whole might be a little bit overrated. I mean, this is 3 years in a row now that they haven't been able to win a big game. I mean, last year it wasn't on Josh Allen. Go ahead.
Yeah, this year it's a lot worse than it's ever been, though.
Right. This year, I mean, we saw throughout the season Josh Allen have moments where he looks like rookie Josh Allen or second-year Josh Allen, not MVP Josh Allen. Go out there and they have 17 points. They're struggling to get first downs. Gabe Davis has not been involved all season. You saw when he was involved last year what happened. They lost to a coin toss, essentially. I think serious changes need to be made in Buffalo. Like, I think they definitely need a more explosive receiver around Josh Allen, but, you know, something's not right there. I mean, if Tua played against Miami, I bet Tua would have beat them. I mean, 10 points in the divisional round. I mean, Stephon Diggs is unhappy now. So, I mean, we'll see what happens, but something definitely needs to change.
When you start thinking, I'm not saying they play alike, but in comparisons to their career, what I really don't want for Josh Allen is for him to turn into Phillip Rivers. Always have that guy who's going to be better than him in his division and in his conference. There's always going to be someone that he has to push over that narrative, and he has to be the best quarterback in the league. If he really wants to push through and beat Mahomes and beat Burrow, he has to prove that he's the guy. He's number one. I'm going to carry my team to the championship and win.
He needs to play smarter for sure.
The Bills, in my opinion, are equivalent to the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC. And they'll win a lot of games in the regular season, but obviously, like you guys have stated, in the postseason when it matters, they fumble the bag.
They haven't had a good record in the postseason.
Cowboys. I truthfully believe that it is coaching. They obviously have a good GM. They get talent in the building. They have great offensive weapons. I don't think Josh Allen is the problem because talent essentially is never the problem. If they can get a guy that can actually utilize him as a true weapon and give him a solid run game, like you guys were talking about, maybe even a top 25 O lineman this year, someone you can develop, maybe go after that position, offensive tackle or guard in the free agency market. They need to help that offense a little bit, boost it up because they have competition. Like you said, the Bengals are clearly better than them. They just smack them. And then obviously the Chiefs and the Chargers are here and there, obviously, but they're in a tough conference and they can't be mediocre. That's the conference you cannot just be mid in. Or just unreliable in general, and that's what they've kind of become over the past couple of years. So we'll have to see what happens with the Bills.
I do want to take a break to appreciate the beauty of that game. We don't get a lot of games like that. Those snow games, especially playoffs. You know, I was talking with my dad and my Aunt Lisa about this, about the amount of snow games and the epic snow games, you know, from back then to now, we don't get them as much. And I feel those crazy snow games that we do get now, we have to cherish those accordingly because there's not many left. There's, for some reason, we're seeing less and less snow games. And it is definitely weird, but the ones that they do have now are just crazy. That was definitely a great game, whether the performance was poor or not from Buffalo. Amazing game.
You bring that snow game up real quick. I just want to shout out the Twitter account for the show. It's at Teatime Reports. If you guys haven't checked that out, we kind of report on everything from USL to Premier to Serie A to USFL to NFL to UFC, all that good stuff. So just make sure to give us a follow and maybe hit that notification button on there as well. Go ahead, Logan. Sorry to interrupt you like that.
Caden, back to what you're saying about Josh Allen being like the next Phillip Rivers. To me, that's not what I'm scared of. It's just there's so many good young quarterbacks in the AFC that he has to compete with all of them. I mean, Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is young. He's coming up. He's ascending. I mean, Lamar Jackson is still there. I mean, the AFC is stacked. So if he's, you know, making silly mistakes and not cutting up his game, I mean, they're not going to
They're not going to win the big playoff games when it matters. And for the next 5-10 years, you know, he's dealing with these same quarterbacks. So
maybe
one of these years, he's going to be
out.
Go ahead.
The big letdown of the season was Justin Herbert for me, you know, because that team, especially in offseason, all those crazy offseason moves they made with J.C. Jackson, Khalil Mack, they got some more big-time players, and they all added them to defense to make that defense absolutely locked down. And this, before the league started, I was, okay, you know, this – they're going to be the scariest defense in the league, and I think they're real deal Super Bowl contenders. And for them to come off and be beatable, be very beatable easily, especially
27-point lead.
They're supposed to be the Chief killers. They're supposed to go in there and win their conference out of nowhere and make a playoff berth. You know, that division's supposed to be stacked, and it is stacked. But, you know, the division that they're in is extremely hard, and I'm not going to blame them for, you know, not living up to expectations, but when you pour that much money into your team, and especially defense, and they didn't perform at all, I'm going to say at all, but they didn't perform to the level that you wanted them to perform for the money that you spent, it's definitely very disappointing. And they had a very lackluster season.
No, I agree. I mean, J.C. Jackson, they signed into a huge deal, and he's kind of mediocre. Then he got hurt. He's out for the season. Khalil Mack, I mean, he's past his prime now, so I don't know. I mean, Joey Bosa is still really good. But I agree. I mean, they're built to beat the Chiefs, but it doesn't mean they're built to beat anybody else, really. I think coaching is holding them back a lot. I mean, if they were to go ahead and get Sean Payton, that'd be awesome, but I don't know about that.
They can't beat the Chiefs.
Right, they can't even. I mean, I think they did one time this year, didn't they? I don't know.
That's sweet.
Really?
I could be wrong though.
We apologize for the background.
But I mean, the state of the NFL right now. I mean. This playoff picture that we have now, it's Bengals versus Chiefs, another a great rematch from last year. And again back when we're talking about, you know, Joe Burrow emerging as one of the best quarterbacks in the league, especially in this late season push. You know, the stuff that we've seen from Joe Burrow this year, especially the Bengals, has been outstanding. And I feel like it's you have to give them the due respect that they deserve. You know, last season people called it a fluke. People called their playoff burst a fluke, and I feel like right now they're proving everyone wrong. You know, it wasn't a fluke. They're obviously back in better form than they've ever been. They're just coming off a win from the Bills. They got the momentum behind them. They got the wind in their sails. It's perfect time for them to jump ahead and steal the show. Go to the Super Bowl again, hopefully against the Eagles, and the Eagles will whoop them, hopefully.
Go ahead, Logan. Sorry.
Yeah, my prediction. It's hard. It's tough. I think the more fun matchup will definitely be Eagles versus Chiefs or Eagles versus Bengals. But the 49ers defense is just so good. I mean, I think it's going to be a slugfest in that game. I think it's going to be a lot lower scoring than people think, like 20-17, 24-20, something around that level. And then Super Bowl, I mean, I don't even know. It's hard.
Super Bowl could go either way in scoring. Because the AFC will give you a blowout, and the NFC will give you a defensive, gritty battle. And that's what I want to see in the Super Bowl, the split of how can an offensive, like, threatening, talented side go against a gritty, you know, defensive side? And I'd really like to see how the Super Bowl is going to end up. Whichever teams it is, it's going to be interesting.
Brady, who do you think is going to be Super Bowl by chance this year?
Oh, man. Are we going to do Super Bowl predictions? I think it's going to be Bengals.
in the AFC and NFC. I think it might be the Eagles. That would be an interesting Super Bowl.
AFC, and it's a toss-up, but Mahomes is not fully healthy, so I'm going to go with the Bengals. And in the NFC, I mean, the Eagles are a complete team. I mean, it's this year or never for them. There's so many pending free agents, guys that are going to retire soon. I want to go with them, but my gut tells me to go with defense. And, you know, defense wins championships. I think 49ers defense is going to come up clutch. They're going to get some stops on Hurts. And I think Purdy will just play his game, you know, not make mistakes, make the easy reads, make the easy throws. And then obviously me as a Giants fan, I don't want Philly to – I don't want Philly to win the Super Bowl. But, yeah, so I'm going to go with 49ers and Bengals, and then I'm going to say Bengals win it all this year. Joe Burrow gets his ring.
Caden, who do you predict?
I do like that take, Logan, of Joe Burrow going all the way and winning it. But I am going to disagree with you on one thing there. That 49ers game, I think, you know, watching the Eagles game and then going straight, you know, I'm a little bit biased. I'm an Eagles fan. But watching that Eagles game and then going straight after and watching that Cowboys 49ers game, I honestly didn't care who won. I am very confident that we can beat either of those teams. Now, I am aware that those are two of the best defensive teams. It's why it was low scoring and the offenses look lackluster. But, you know, the Eagles, they are no slouch on defense. And they have a better offense.
No, not at all.
They have a better offense than the 49ers, you know, with Brock Purdy, definitely, you know, a good – I can say this. I think we can safely say this now. A good quarterback right now. But there's still, you know, I still see flaws in his game. You know, they don't really want him to go extremely deep and take those massive shots, which he doesn't have to. Because he has playmakers on his offense that can do those for him, like Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, who can take the ball and make their own plays.
And George Kittle,
you know, their offense is perfectly fine with that. But I do think that with our edges on offense and our more, you know, us being a more complete football team, I think we can edge them out in a very close but, you know, tough battle. And as far as the Super Bowl goes, you know, Patrick Mahomes is hurt, so I think he won't be fully ready, fully healthy, fully mobile, but, you know, with the spirit that he has, you know, he'll play, you know, he'll probably just chop that leg off and play anyway, with what we saw the other night. And he was still destroying that defense with one leg. It was a very entertaining game. And, you know, it was him going beast mode like that. I think he has what it takes to narrow out the Bengals and go to the Super Bowl. But, you know, with Joey Burrow being on the hunt and the run that he's on, playmakers that he has in Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. And T. Higgins could go be a wide receiver one on any other team. He has what it takes to be a wide receiver one on any other team. It just, you know, Jamar Chase is there. Now, so threatening with that vertical threat and that speed that they have. And with that speed that they bring, the offense that they bring, I think they can edge out the Chiefs and go to the Super Bowl. And, you know, from that, I'm going to go with the Eagles winning it.
Yeah, my pick would probably have to be, I would assume that the Bengals are going to beat an injured Patrick Mahomes because Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow. And then, honestly, like, I agree with the Eagles pick over the 49ers. I think they have a solid defense and probably the best coach out of these teams that Brock Purdy's coach played against. So I'm gonna go with the Eagles here. And then for my Super Bowl pick, I'll probably wind up – I think it's going to come down to a turnover or, you know, a big play, a big, you know, momentum swift shifter. So we'll see what it comes down to. But I'm probably going to wind up going with the Eagles. And, you know, my family's an Eagles, you know, family, so – it's not a biased pick. I just think it's going to come down to maybe Darius Slay gets a nice pick, or, you know, Bradbury's been having a great year, had a pick against Daniel Jones. Sorry, Logan. But
he's an all-pro player. Came from us. So.
And honestly, I think Joe Burrow as a quarterback is better than Jalen Hurts, but I think that the Eagles have a superior defense compared to the Bengals. And don't get me wrong, the D-line on the Bengals is nasty. They get after it. But their cornerbacks, Eli Apple, he gets me scared. He gets me scared sometimes. So, I mean, A.J. Brown over there, what's he going to do? What is Eli Apple going to do against A.J. Brown? Tell me. Anyone?
Hey, I mean, Eli Apple did just lock down Stephon Diggs.
But, I mean, A.J. Brown is just a different animal. Has anyone locked him down this year?
Yeah, he's had some games where he's hasn't done that good.
I mean,
when he's not doing good, it means Devontae Smith's doing good. Or the rushing
game,
all that game. Or,
you know,
yeah.
Gardner is in, you know. But, like, I'm just saying A.J. Brown will be that X factor in that Super Bowl. It's going to come down to, you know, a big, deep crosser or, hell, he might even take a slant 90 yards to the house. That guy is a beast. I really like him as a player, and I think the Eagles stole him from the Titans, but that's a different story. But, yeah, let's talk about that Dallas game real quick. What are we thinking about Dak Prescott, the Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, Jerry Jones? I want to talk about the Cowboys, honestly. They're a good team in the regular season, but genuinely a disaster organizationally and coach-wise in the postseason. I don't know what it is. Are they cursed? Dak Prescott has identical win-loss stats to Tony Romo. Are they going to get out of that now? Is it going to be later? Is he just stuck there? Is anyone taking that contract? Caden, go ahead and just give me some thoughts on that, man.
Hey, before you do that, Trevor, something just came over the line that after the final play, Dak Preston threw his helmet, but it was intercepted.
That actually makes sense. That'd be, what, his, like, 18th? Like, what are we doing?
Probably more.
How is he making more than, I don't know.
Most
quarterbacks
in the NFL?
Seriously, how is he making more than the guys that are, you know, out, you know, changing tires and stuff? Like, I don't get that.
Is
I don't know how you're paid
more
to
than
this.
Joe Burrow?
He missed.
Well,
Joe
Burrow's still on his rookie contract. But after, I think Joe might. Joe's going to get a fat check.
He's going to set the market.
Well, next is Lamar. Lamar has to get paid. Then I think it's Hurts and Burrow. They're up next.
In these type of leagues, you got to set the market, you know. Dak set the market.
Now it's Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson really set the market with the guaranteed money.
No, absolutely, but the market gets set every so often. So I imagine big money is going to be thrown.
And we'll see what Lamar will get. I don't think it's going to be with it's not going to be with the Ravens.
I do want to kind of focus in on the Cowboys' loss. I watched the game. It was funny to see them lose. You know, that's obviously just a fan talk coming out of me there. It's just the same old Cowboys to me. They stutter. Their quarterback and their key pieces either get injured, sadly, on injury. I don't want anyone to get injured, or they make a mistake or a crucial error. And those two interceptions that Dak threw were terrible. They were terrible. The second one was into double coverage to CeeDee. Like, I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know what they do with him. I don't know what they do with Mike McCarthy. Has he run his course there? And does Jerry Jones at this point just throw his hat in? What do you guys think?
He won't do it. My take on it is the Cowboys are stuck with Dak. No one was taking that contract. They can't release him. They're stuck with him. But just look how the organization has been ran the past 30 years or so. And I mean, it's been so long since they won a championship, but they've kept the same philosophy. It's not a bad philosophy. You know, they play good defense. They run the football. I mean, how you win games, but they just can't seem to do it when it matters most. Like you said before, they're great in the regular season, but when it comes to the nitty gritty, when it comes to playoff times, they choke. Dak chokes. He shows what he really is.
I mean, he showed it all this season. I mean, he led the league in picks after missing like 5-6 games. How you do that, I don't know, but I think it's Jerry. I think it starts at the top. It's Jerry Jones. That's what starts first, and then it's everything down. So they won't make changes, but I think they need. I mean, they need to make a change. But I think McCarthy's going to stay. I don't know who they get in the term. Maybe Sean Payton. I mean, that'd be a good hire. But McCarthy's got them this far. I think he stays there. But I think we're going to stuck with the same old Dallas for a while.
Well, I mean, think about this, though. If I'm Kellen Moore or Dan Quinn, I'm getting the heck out of there. I'm getting a job, you know? I'm a young OC. I'm a veteran DC. Why am I not just going to get the Panthers job? Why am I not going, you know, elsewhere? It's clearly just going to be a repetitive pattern with at least this team.
McCarthy
is
doesn't deserve it. I did see Bill O'Brien got hired by as the OC for
the Patriots
for New England.
Yeah,
Patriots
yeah,
from Alabama.
Be,
you know, good coach.
We'll see what
terrible
he,
GM.
Honestly, not a
yeah.
bad OC. Absolutely
just terrible GM.
Water,
that's the only reason why.
Horrible GM, horrible head coach, destroyed the Texans forever. He's a good offensive coordinator.
I wouldn't even call him a bad head coach either. I mean, they were good when he was there, just once he got full range as a GM.
He was the guy behind Deshaun Watson in his, I guess, upbringing. And he put up monster numbers. He got D-Hop. You know, he had pieces, and he just destroyed it. He threw it in the fire.
He had them in the playoffs every year.
Before what happened
with him, you know, he was getting Randall Cunningham comps. People were saying he was playing like Randall Cunningham. And, you know, the quality of play that he was putting out and the way he was carrying his team, I can agree with those. He was a top five quarterback.
Right up there with Mahomes, in my opinion. Back then, but not anymore.
Well, yeah. Mahomes is literally there, but well, like Russell Wilson. He was up there with Russell Wilson and stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Going back to the bullet Bill O'Brien, he made good choices like that. Then you take a look left, and then you see that Brock Osweiler signing, or that David Johnson trade, or the D-Hop trade. So it's going to be interesting. He obviously will have no authority whatsoever in the Patriots hierarchy because it's, you know, Bill Belichick, and it's very military style up there, and that's – you know, the way they run their club, and I respect it. It's obviously gotten great.
I think anything's better than what they had, though. I mean, Joe Judge and who was it?
No,
Matt Patricia.
I think he's an upgrade. But what I'm saying is, maybe after a year of a good offensive efficiency output, maybe someone's going to give the guy a job again. And you know, I want to see a cycle. of new player head coaches.
Don't give him any executive
authority.
to do anything with the team's future at all, except for coach. You have yourself a good OC, fresh out of Nick Saban, fresh out of number 5 team in the country, you know, in Alabama, working with young minds like Bryce Young, who might go on to shape the league. He's definitely had his hands on some bright young minds all across the league. And Bryce Young is different coming in the league, you know, as a top 3 pick prospect. I think he'll definitely bring some quality to Mac Jones. And he did work with Mac Jones as his OC back in Alabama.
Yep.
When Mac Jones was in Alabama, Bill O'Brien was the OC of Alabama. And that chemistry they have, they work really well in Alabama together. And the chemistry they have, I think, will translate into the NFL.
We'll have to see because I'm a doubter on Mac Jones. I saw serious regression this year. I know he dealt with injury and obviously Matt Patricia, but I don't like to see that in year two. I like to see a little bit more flash and you understand the game more, but there was a point where he had 2 touchdowns and 5 picks this year, and it was bad, you know. And I, I,
I get worried, especially at the quarterback position at a young age, you know, and you don't see that. Because I was like, you know, honestly, that was probably Davis Mills-esque, you know, seeing that type of regression, because Davis Mills was not good this year. I mean, he tried his hardest, but it was not good for the Texans in general. They won't be good for about 10, 15 years, I imagine, but that's a discussion probably for another time. Did you guys want to go ahead and say anything? Oh, Logan, we have our first song of the day. Logan, do you have a song of the day for us today?
Give me 1 second, sorry. My song of the day is going to be...
Is it YFN Lucci?
My song of the day is going to be Pray For Me by Kendrick Lamar on The Weeknd.
And when was that song dropped, if you have any kind of little background on it, why it's important to you, you know?
It was part of the Black Panther album. The first one came out, I think, I want to say 2018. That album was, you know, executive produced by Kendrick Lamar and The Weeknd and stuff. But it's, you know, great album, great song. So, yeah, you guys have to go check it out. Like I said, Pray For Me by The Weeknd and Kendrick Lamar.
Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate that. I definitely will. And, Caden, do you have anything else to say? Same with you, Brady. Do you want to shout out anything? Shout out anyone?
I mean, absolute great show. I did want to shout out a young aspiring athlete, Shaquan Williams. He's a D tackle out of Notre Dame Athletics, not the Notre Dame Academy, but Notre Dame Athletics. When he was in college, he was the leader, sack leader for his class in D2 when he graduated, with 20 sacks and I believe 64 tackles. And, he is a free agent trying to find a way in the XFL and the USFL. So if anyone's watching, please give my man a shout. Help him chase his bag. Help him get into whatever league he can find.
Do you have his Twitter by chance?
It is the real, uppercase T, the, all one letter. Uppercase T, the, uppercase R, real, uppercase S, Shawan. And it's Shawan Williams, D-tackle.
Shout out. Brady, anything you want to say in our final minutes?
I just want to say we had a great show. I'm looking forward to our mock draft, whenever we are going to do that. Next week, the week after that, I'm excited for our mock draft. I believe we're all going to pick a division, right?
Yes, sir. That's actually going to be episode 3, January 31st. We're going to have our mock drafts for round 1, including trades. Thank you, Brady, for that. I appreciate that. And I want to shout out Shady Sports Network on Twitter. Great guy over there. I appreciate him. Done a lot of work with him on Twitter. He's been helping me out, gaining a little following on there. So I appreciate that, man. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I really appreciate it. This has been a great show. This was episode 2 of Tea Time. Thank you, everyone, again, for stopping in. And hopefully you guys had a good time. We always do. Pops, you can go ahead and close it down. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, the program has been brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women police fire services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please acknowledge them. Let them know you know they're there. Not everybody in the uniform is bad. Please do your best to let them know that they're there. Good night. God bless and have a great week.
Shem Alekma Yelama Shem Ahezah Yelama Son Hashem Nevorat Fet Hakuig Gen Mayer.